Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good evening. It is February 8th, 2020, and welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with the one, the only, your boy, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, author Jeffrey Rochelle. Tonight, I'm so excited. I have two of my favorite literary heavy hitters, as I call them, because the Prince of Erotica himself, Cartier Julien, is on my show tonight, and Tiffany Forbes is on my show tonight. And this is a pre-Valentine's Day, thinking about Thanksgiving a little too early, Valentine's Day show. So tonight, you're going to get a chance to talk to Cartier Julien and Tiffany Forbes. I'm going to play a little trivia with them, so the men going versus the women, and then we're going to go from there. So kick back, relax, enjoy this very special episode, because this is pre-Valentine's Day, before next Friday, and I know all of you all that are booed up, coupled up, or if you got your significant other, side chick, whatever, side dude, you know, Friday's going to be very special for y'all, because you're going to be doing for those people. You're going to be sending flowers to their jobs, flowers and gifts to their house, taking them out. So it's a very special occasion for you people that are involved, whether it is involved with a mutual person of your good interest or whether it's involved with a side piece or two. But anyways, it's all day next Friday, Valentine's Day, and this is the pre-show for Valentine's Day, and no better way to kick it off but with two of my favorites, like I said, Cartier Julien, the Prince of Erotica, and Miss Tiffany Forbes, who's just completed an erotica piece herself. But as always, let's recap my week. So this was the very first week I started a new position, a new job position, I should say. I was elevated from where I normally worked at for the last 2 years to a new position at a new company. I was very nervous this week, but needless to say, I made it through the week, and I was very happy about that. From transitioning from doing nursing work, CNA work, to going back to the office and being a billing coordinator is a lot, and it's a very tedious job that I hold now. But as they say, more money, more problems, and that's what I'm making, more money, more pay. But I got more problems. But needless to say, my mom does a little bit of this, and she's getting ready to retire this year. But she does a little bit of what I do at my new company, too. So all week, she's been giving me positive vibes, you know, just take your time. Don't be nervous. But it's a lot. I've crammed in a lot all week. And it's like sitting at my computer in my new cubicle. It's like I'm just eager to learn all this so I can get out on my own. But we must crawl before we can walk. Baby steps. So I've just released a little bit of my nervousness since my new supervisor and my trainer was like, you're doing so well, Jeff. for this to be your first time doing refund billing, you're doing really good. And I just really felt good about myself hearing that. Needless to say, all the information I've been taking in the last 5 days of this past week. But I'm just asking y'all to continue to send positive vibes my way as well, because eventually, after a while, they will be taking the training wheels off the bike, and I will be riding by myself, and I'm dealing with money, refunds. So it's very, 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 very analytical and tedious position, but I'll get it. I'll be cool. So now, this has been on my mind all week long. Man, this Gail and Snoop Dogg, I just have to just, man, I don't know where to begin with it. Should I start talking about the interview that Gail did with Lisa Leslie, or should I just get on the Snoop Dogg video? Because I've been cracking up. If I needed a laugh or a pick-me-up, I'm sorry to say, I know a lot of y'all are defending Gail because of the way Snoop came at her. I kind of say he did kind of come at her a little hard. But then again, I don't feel bad about the way he came, what he said, because she knew what she was stepping into with doing that interview with Lisa Leslie. And she went on to say, in her defense, Gail, that is, after the Snoop Dogg video, that CBS only put out half the interview that she did with Lisa Leslie. Regardless, Gail, you still brought up Kobe Bryant's rape, the rape charges, the case. You still brought all that up. So to say CBS cut half the interview, why did you have to talk to Lisa Leslie about any of that from 2003, I believe? That has nothing to do with what you should have been questioning Lisa Leslie about, and not to mention the fact that we just lost Kobe and his daughter Gianna. Why would you bring that up, Gail? Like, I don't understand it either. So when I heard from my best friend the video that Snoop did, I immediately went to YouTube and looked at it, and I didn't know that I was going to get the best laugh of my night that day. But man, when Snoop got to talking, I said, okay, I know he's going to go in. But when he called her, before he said it, he said, can I get permission? Can I do it? He went in to call her a funky dog head. Lit up and then called a punk mother on it, and that just sent me. I let out to holler like I did. Man, I needed that laugh for the day. And then I saw that Oprah got on and she did something a day after that, talking about Gail receiving all these threats and this and that and blah blah blah. But I understand to a point where Snoop and everybody else is coming from. Oprah and Gail, y'all have attacked us, Black men, and you have done anything with any other race as far as the males and their sexual allegations, but you always come after us. And why? And I understand it to an extent. And then for you to come at Kobe Bryant, and we just lost him, Gail, what was on your bird? So you deserved everything that man said about you in that video he did. I feel no shame about it. I mean, I saw some people on my timeline saying, you know, she was in, you know, that Snoop didn't have to come at her like that, and how are we going to talk about this, and you know, Snoop's made this, and then they also been putting up pictures of Snoop being with Donald Trump. What does that have to do with what Gail said about Kobe? We just lost Kobe. Kobe is no longer with us. He's deceased. He's going to heaven. What does that have to do with the fact that she did that? And not only she did it right after we lost him, that has nothing to do with it, putting up pictures of Snoop and Trump. Nothing. I just have to say, people have to always play tit for tat, side to side. She was wrong. It's no way to look at it. She was wrong. So every backlash she's gotten, it's kind of harsh. But she deserved everything that's been said to her, you know, because I really truly believe that she did it to get her ratings up. That's the only reason why I believe she did it. Honest God, to answer your question, that's why she interviewed R. Kelly, to get her ratings up, because I didn't even know Gail was on CBS now. Then when I saw the R. Kelly interview, I'm like, oh, so she's on CBS now. Then I'm like, she's doing that to get her ratings up. She know this man going through what he's going through. He got the problems and the issues that he got. You call him on your show. He get on there. He act the fool. He act out. You did that for your ratings. And then when I turned around and saw this with Lisa Leslie, I thought, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So everything that's been said to her, I do not feel sorry for that. I feel sorry that she's getting so much backlash, but I do not feel sorry that she's being said what's being said to her, because you treading in those waters and you knew that was going to happen. You thought maybe that people was going to just brush you under the rug because you were, like, asking these questions and CBS was, like, kind of cutting stuff in the interview, and Lisa Leslie was kind of like, you know, not trying to go there with you, and she was not trying to go there with you, but it seemed like you still was probing even though stuff was cut. You should have known somebody was going to come after you, Gail. So, like I said, I feel sorry for what's being thrown at her, but what's being said to her, I do not feel sorry for that at all. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. Like I said, I told people that on my timeline. I've been seeing this. Y'all can say what y'all want. She deserved it. She deserved it. You know, and Snoop didn't go too harsh on her. You know, in my opinion, it was, you know what I'm saying, it kind of was, but then it kind of wasn't. But, you know, I'm kind of, like I said, that laugh I got, I needed that for that day. So, I'm sorry. Gail was wrong. I guess we're going to move on for this in a couple of days or so. But to talk about this, Gail was in the wrong. So, as always, this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana, and they're open till 12 a.m. tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana, and their phone number is area code 219-951-0695. And that Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana is owned by two of my high school classmates, Jonathan and Quentin. So if you get them down in Gary or wherever, stop in there. Tell them I said what's up. They've been homeboys for a long time. I've been knowing them since high school, and they own this Beggar's Pizza. And like I said, that Beggar's Pizza's address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana, and they're open to midnight tonight. Their phone number is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stoney, home of the famous jerk fries, and other types of food, too. If you own Instagram, you got a friend, Mickey's on Stoney. If you come to Chicago, you got to eat at Mickey's on Stoney. They're on the southeast side. Their address is 8126 South Stoney Island in Chicago, and they're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Their phone number is 773-902-2800. That's Mickey's on Stoney on the southeast side, 8126 South Stoney Island in Chicago, and they're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Phone number 773-902-2800. And Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois, serving sweet, hot food, and custom treats. Try their weekly food specials. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and their phone number is 708-566-4088. That's Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. And Pop Culture Popcorn, not just serving you cheese and caramel. They got jerk-flavored popcorn, pizza-flavored popcorn, bubblegum popcorn, 50-plus flavors of popcorn. Their address is 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois, and they're located right in the Phoenix Plaza off of Halsted. And their weekly days of operation are Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., and their phone number is 708-825-9105. That's Pop Culture Popcorn. Open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. The address is 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois, and their phone number is 708-825-9105. And Layla Sports Bar and Grill, if you're looking for your banquet needs, if you're looking to just kick back and have a drink, go out, dance, get you some food, Layla Sports Bar, serving all your sports watching needs and just hanging out. Their hours of operation are Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 11, Friday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., and Sunday, 11 to 8 p.m. And their address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill, 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton. And their phone number is 708-414-1088. And tonight, I want to send a special shout out and dedicate this show to my second mom, Audrey Smiles, who listens faithfully every weekend. So, Miss Audrey, Mama Audrey, shouting you out. Thanks for listening and tuning into the Saturday Spotlight every Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, without further ado, we come to the best part of the show, and that's bringing in the author, or in this case tonight, the authors for the night, and that is author Cartier Julien and Tiffany Forbes. And I'm going to bring them in one by one. We're going to talk, get to know who Cartier is. We know a little bit about Tiffany, but I'm going to give y'all a refresher on Tiffany. We're going to talk about their books, upcoming events, and I'm going to play a little trivia with them, and we're going to go from there. So first, I'm going to bring in ladies first, and I see Tiff out there. So author Tiffany Forbes, welcome to the Saturday Spotlight.
Party, my energy is about to start. They wouldn't even go away. Matter of fact, go ahead on in the inside while I'm there. Yeah, tell them stay in there too.
Tiffany? Hello?
Let's get out.
Okay, got to mute her because she got me on hold, but she didn't know I brought her in. Cartier, I'm going to bring you in, brother, and I go back and get Tiffany. So, Saturday Spotlight, let's give it up for the Prince of Erotica himself, my brother, Cartier Julien from Milwaukee. Cartier, what's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
What's up, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm all right, bro. I'm all right. How about you?
Oh, I can't complain, man. Life gets better every day.
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. You can't complain. It's going to do us no good when you complain.
No, sir. No, sir. Not at all.
Yes, yes. Let me see if I can bring Tiff in here now, too. Hold on one sec. Tiffany.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Hello?
Tiffany? Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm having a little difficulty with my phone. I'm here.
Okay. You scared me there for a minute. I'd have brought you here with me and Cartier.
How y'all doing tonight?
We good.
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm struggling with a cold, but I'm here. I couldn't miss this.
And I appreciate you being on in spite of your cold. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go one by one. Tiffany, just introduce yourself again. Cartier, if you guys need to mute, just mute your phone. But Tiffany, I'm going to go ahead with you first. Introduce us again to who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Hello, everyone. I'm an author. I'm in Petersburg, Virginia. I'm self-published. I've been published since 2016 with my first book, Silly of Me, May the Best Woman Win. I'm currently getting ready to release two books for this month for Valentine's Day. I'm in an anthology with Deidre Lachey and Mona. Mona was the one that came to me with the idea of the anthology, and it's called Lust or Love, Show Me Right. And the story that I have for that is a short story called Hot Chocolate. And the book that I'm doing on my own is called My Silly Valentine. So I have two February releases this month in their erotica. I have a group on Facebook called Read a Good Book. It's for authors and readers. So if you're an author, you want to promote your work, do takeovers, just discussions, anything literary related, feel free to check it out. And I'm just always, you know, I'm always online on Facebook.
Okay, cool. All right. Now, Cartier, I'm going to turn the mic to you, bro. Tell us a little bit about who you are for those that don't know. Tell us a little bit about your books and where you're from.
How y'all doing? My name is Cartier Julien. I'm 26. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've been writing since 2015. That was when I first signed my first contract. I'm currently signed to T. Smickens Presents. And right now, I'm working on two different books. I have one that was just announced earlier today, Good Trouble from a Baddie, which is an erotica thriller. And then I have a second erotic thriller coming later in the month. So it's a pretty big month. I love February in particular for releasing novels because that's where I kind of come into my own. It is where I can shine the most as an erotic author. It's one of my favorite genres to write in. I love to be able to just exude in passion and romance and love. And also, I have a page on Facebook, Literary Lust, for anyone, for any lady who loves erotic short stories. That's where most of those shine. I try to drop one every week. Not just short stories, though. I mean, I have a little bit of fun. Of course, erotic fun. Ask some questions only for those who are comfortable. So if anybody out there loves a good group where you can just talk, have fun, talk about the grown and sexy, be comfortable, please join my group on Facebook, Literary Lust. I'm also available on Twitter, at Author Cartier, where I get to talk about other TV shows and books out there in the world. So I just let it have fun, be able to discuss when I'm not writing, and, yeah, get to know me.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this comes to my questionnaire. I'm going to go with Tiffany first, and then Cartier, you can jump in after she finishes. Why erotica? What made you guys? I know, Tiff, this is like your, I think, your first time dabbling in that area, but also, why erotica? And I want to hear that from both you and Cartier, but Tiffany first, and then after her, Cartier, if you can just let me know, too, why erotica? What? Why did y'all choose that genre?
Well, believe it or not, honestly, I had no intentions. Like, I always, you know, write good sex scenes, juicy detailed scenes in my books. But Amazon kind of forced me into the category. And then it was just like, you know what, I may as well just write a whole story on it because my book, Touch My Soul, I actually hadn't put that in the category Amazon. And I was like, you know, well, this could be erotica. So, you know, I kind of accidentally fell into this genre, honestly.
Okay. And Cartier, why did you choose that? I know that's the your highlight of what your main basis of everything. So, bro, why did you choose that genre? Why erotica for you?
It's funny. When I first started writing in 2014, before I even knew much about the literary industry, I was doing short stories and different things, but I was doing them a lot more in just a thriller category, more of just, you know, suspense and things like that. But when I signed to my first publisher, it was actually when I released my first erotic thriller. And just like anything, for the first time, once you become comfortable, it almost becomes an addiction. So for me, erotica became an addiction, and it became one for lots of different reasons. For me, it's an escape from the normal types of genres. It's so much fun and exhilaration with writing an erotica. Is so much that you can do. There's so many different compelling storylines that I can come up with, and it's just one of those genres. I won't say that it kind of has me encapsulated where it's like that's the only genre I can write in, but it is the one that I prefer to write in because I just can come up with so much, you know, so much more than I could in any other genre. So it's, man, just writing about romance, creating black love, creating some type of energy between two souls, it has always energized me as a writer. So, you know, it's just, I know people call me the Prince of Erotica or the King of Erotica, but it really is like my bread and butter. And so it's just one genre I can never turn my back on. And I'm glad to be back in it now because I did kind of distance myself from erotica for a while and then focus more on kind of like this, the urban gritty street tales. But now I'm back in where I feel like I belong. So that's why it was for me. It's just being able to create romance from my own head, even if I don't have it going on in my real life.
Okay, cool. I like the response from both of y'all. And I actually did start one myself. I wrote Friday at the Dark. And I guess, I don't know if you guys can agree with this when I say this. It was an experience writing for the first time. And what I'm going to say is like y'all first time, like y'all very first, you know, time writing an erotica scene. It kind of was like, I'm flowing with it, but I want to make sure I'm doing it the right way so I can be vivid. I had to be at a, you know, detailed to a point. And I was told that when I wrote Friday After Dark. So I can kind of tell from Cartier, you know, you very detailed because I hear it a lot from seeing your comments and things on your post. But at the same time, do you guys feel like you have to be very detailed when you write a scene? Like, how do your scene flows go? And anybody can just take a stab at it if y'all want to answer that. So.
I'll go. Yeah, I think that, you know, it should definitely be very detailed. You like, I listen to music, you know, light candles, just different stuff. Sometimes have a glass of wine and just get into it.
Okay. Because yeah, I know that it's yeah, go ahead, Cartier.
No, I would, you know, just to chime in and agree with her. You know, the more detail, the better. You can never hurt to have more detail in scenes, especially when it comes to, you know, sex scenes, creating magic from your mind. You know, it's almost like you're envisioning something that you would want to happen in reality, or, you know, if it is happening in reality, it's so much more fun when you create that detail. You can keep people locked in to what they're reading. So that's just for me. Like, I love to be as detailed as possible, as nasty as possible. It brings people back, and it keeps people entertained and engaged.
Okay.
And for me, to piggyback,
go ahead,
I was just going to say, to piggyback off what he said, like, when you read a good erotica, like, a good detailed scene, you can tell, like, when the author has, you know, has put that all into it, you're like, oh, yeah, this right here, this is it. Like, you can kind of tell. You can just feel it.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Definitely, definitely. And I've read a lot of K. Rowe's books. I've read a lot of Zane's books. I've read, who else writes erotica? What's that chick's name? I just recently finished one of her books, but I gave it back to somebody. But I've read a lot, what I'm asking with this, because some people I found it to be too detailed. Has it been a point where you make sure that you're not too detailed too? Because there's been certain erotic books that I'm like, okay, it's kind of a little bit too detailed. Like, I know they want to hit the scene, but at the same time, it can be a little bit too detailed. Have you, like, felt like, just like you don't want to be too detailed with the detailing, or?
Well, in my opinion,
go ahead, Queen.
I was just gonna say, like, in my opinion, as long as it's erotica, I'm fine with, you know, I'm fine with details and stuff, you know, if it's leading up to what, you know, what the author's trying to convey, like, just not to, you know, fill up the page with fluff. I also, you know, since it's erotica, you can put, you know, scents, taste, different stuff, not just sex, but it could be detail oriented, but it doesn't have to just be about the sex aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it's so much more that can go into it, you know. If you know, like you said, you're adding just a sense or the touch, you make them imagine that they're there, you're just creating a vision. You know, rather than just creating the scene, you're creating the setting, the vision, you're creating this aura that they can really visualize everything that's happening before the actual scene happens. And to add detail, you know, just describing the setting, describing every smell, describing the candle, describing the cologne they're wearing, simple stuff like that can really put into perspective of what this scene is all about. So, I mean, that's what I typically do now. When I was writing erotica, it was just more or less let's get to the sex scene, let's make it as nasty as possible. But now it's like the tease is sometimes better than the actual, like, action itself. So to be able to tease the reader and give them that without actually giving them that sometimes can be just as fun.
Okay, and the reason I asked you guys that too, and I want to piggyback off of something that I saw Cartier write about one time, about how when the review, how reviewer can go and give you something negative. And I know you had a couple of issues with a female, Cartier, that kept, like, attacking you. It was one of the reviews that I got on Goodreads for Friday After Dark. And the reason I asked that question is because when the guy gave me the review, he was like, well, I'm kind of glad that this book wasn't just full of sex and it had that whole, it gave you a story plot too. And I just had always thought that if you're going to, like how you guys said, if you're going to write erotica, you're going to be detailed and, you know, you're going to make. But I noticed that it was people that when they do read erotica, they looking for it, but they also want to make sure it's a storyline read. And I got to, I didn't expect that review. I thought it was just going to say, okay, good book. But he was like, I was just glad it wasn't just all about the sex and fucking and all that woo-woo. And it just made me laugh because I remember, Cartier, when you said somebody kept trying to, you know, come at you sideways about, you know, when they talked about your books or whatever. So that's why I asked you guys that question as well, too, because I kind of felt like, okay, erotica is supposed to be erotica, but in a sense, people that read, I didn't know that they look for so much, not so much the sex, but the story, but also the story to go hand-in-hand and counterpoint, too.
Yeah. I mean, in that situation with that individual, I think it was more or less, for her, it was kind of just a, I don't want to call her a troll. I mean, everybody's, you know, everybody can have their own opinion. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Obviously, you know, we have a very passionate group of readers and critics in the industry, and that's kind of what keeps us going, whether it's negative or positive. But I think her situation, it was not just the scenes. I think it was more or less just her trying to find a way to kind of tear another, you know, young brother down. But it was okay for me because it did help me grow from that situation, you know, and it did help me put things into perspective in a sense before I release my next book. It's like, what could I do better? Even if that person was a little bit more on the, I ain't gonna say a hater, but she was more or less just kind of being on the rude aspect of things. What could I do as an mm-hmm. author to, you know, help myself? So it was, you know, it was what it was, but you definitely want to make sure that with erotica or anything romance-based, you have a nice, decent storyline that flows with it as well. The storytelling does, you know, it does coincide well with the sex scene, obviously, but sometimes the story can be so good that the sex scene becomes redundant in a way where it's not even the most important aspect. So, you know, you're definitely right about that. And, you know, yeah, you definitely have great books as well. So I'm not surprised that you got a review like that because, obviously, you know, your books are very good, so.
Oh, appreciate that. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. So let me ask you guys this, and then Tiff and Cardi, I want you guys to go one-on-one. But with this question I want to ask, there are authors that kind of, and I know K-Ro is one of them, never really seen, you know, a picture per se. Did you feel like you, Cartier, first, I guess I want to ask you first before I get Tiff. Did you feel like with you writing so many erotica books that you've wrote now, did you feel like you, if you did not put your picture out there, the females didn't know what you look like, that it would take away from the popularity of your books? Because I know when I used to follow K-Ro before I became a writer and I was reading his books, you know, of course, he hasn't let people know who he I don't know now. But at that point back then, he didn't want a picture out. And also Quan Mills is like that too. So I guess I want to ask the question, do you feel like you would have to be popular, or you just felt like, okay, I'm just going to put myself out there with my picture? You know, because like I said, with K-Ro, he was like, well, it takes away from, you know, the suspense, and then I'm getting a broader audience. But your audience want to know what you look like too. So, Cartier, do you feel like, have you thought about it, I should say, you know, before you started writing and got to where you are now, or it just never crossed your mind? I don't have to, you know, hide who I am. My picture's out, people know who I am.
You know, that's actually a very great question. Actually, a damn good question, because, you know, I've thought about that before, a couple of years, actually. You know, being in the industry now, going on 5 to 6 years, it's crossed my mind before because, you know, you kind of think like, man, what if I never posted a picture? What if, because before I became an author, obviously, you know, I was just an ordinary guy on Facebook posting statuses every now and then before I decided like, well, how about I take this, you know, what it was before a hobby, what about I take it and make it more of a full-time thing and make it a career because I think I could do it. You know, if I would have never allow people to see my face, or if I would have had a logo covering up my profile picture or something, I always wonder like how how much my fan base would have been affected negatively or positively, because I know a few authors who, you know, don't put themselves out there. Like you mentioned, the great Quan Mills, talented brother as well. You mentioned how he doesn't post pictures of himself, and it could affect you. But, you know, in his case, it doesn't really affect him. You know, his books still seem to populate a large fan base and a lot of money. So if it works for him, you know, I wonder sometimes if it could work for me, because there are other factors that could help benefit you in this industry, such as, you know, having a great cover or a great title or storyline or just having a theme for every book, like how Quan Mills, you know, he tends to have the crazier titles or the storylines, but they work for him. And that's good, you know, much love to him. For me, you know, if I didn't have my picture out there, I do wonder that sometimes. I do appreciate the love that I do get from all the women who read my novels. You know, I'm so appreciative of everybody, always have been. But, you know, sometimes it does cross my mind, like, what if I changed my pen name and just went just completely blank, no profile picture, just pen name, just love, just words, just novels, what would happen, you know? It is a mystery. Sometimes I do think about it, but... you know, no matter what, I'm still appreciative of what I've got so far.
Okay, great. And Tiff, have you had that ever crossed your mind where writing? Have you thought about, or did you think about it first? I say not putting a pitch up, or it doesn't ever affect you thinking about that?
Well, for the most part, most of my readers, people who, you know, have been rocking with me since I actually came into the industry, they kind of know what I look like. But some people don't still know what I look like, because for the most part, I usually try to post my book covers as my profile pictures. And you probably have to, if you want to know what I look like, you may have to dig through it. I might put my pictures sometime, you know, in my stories, or it may be on Instagram, but I don't just constantly upload, you know, selfies and images of myself. So I have had people that, you know, just was curious to what I look like. And I know that, like, you know, most people are visual and they just, you know, want to see, because I remember, you know, back in the day wondering what Zane looked like. I don't know, it was just curiosity. Like, well, she's writing all these books, I wonder what she looks like. So I understand,
right,
you know, with people, you know, just keeping it to themselves sometimes.
Definitely, definitely. And like I said, it doesn't really affect the, like how Cartier said with author Quan Mills. Look at him, you know, he's up there with his fan base, but, you know, it doesn't really affect him. But I know, like I said, with K-Ro, me and K-Ro, I used to talk to him on a steady basis back in the day, and he was like, well, I don't feel like I need to put a picture up for females to see who I am. And it would be females that would be on his statuses like, I want to know what you look like. And it just used to be so funny. We used to trip out and laugh about that. And I'm like, okay. So I he was like, one person that asked him, like, are you ugly? Like, it just really tripped me out to see that. But he was like, he knew that at that point, because he had gotten to the status that he was, that would take away from them reading his book to know what he looked like, you know. So that's why I asked that question. Cool. Okay.
That's a good question.
So Friday. Thank you. And I'm glad y'all definitely answered that to a T for me, because I just wanted to know what y'all opinions going on with the, you know, y'all writing erotica and everything. So cool. So Friday, Tiff, what you got going on Friday for Valentine's Day?
Well, definitely the book Love Allah, Show Me Right, the anthology will be out. My book won't be out just Friday, because I've had some issues, you know, in my own love life, which probably going to be coming to a story near y'all real soon. We'll take the pain and, you know, make a couple of dollars off it. But the book will be out this Friday, so you all can look forward to that. And as far as my, you know, what I'll actually be doing Friday, I'll be celebrating, you know, the book release, and I'll probably be doing some special things with my children.
Okay. That's a little still in the atmosphere. A little bit better than me. I'll be in the office all day doing refunds on Friday. I don't get out of that till about 9 o'clock. So that's what I'll be doing.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, definitely. Brother Cartier, what you got going on for Friday?
Well, man, you know, after I send this first book into editing, The second book becomes a priority then. So I think going into Friday, man, it'll probably be around the same thing I'm doing now, man, just writing and getting everything prepared, probably get a nice bottle of wine or some type of liquor or something, chill, and just see what the weekend is all about. It's All-Star weekend. I had my guys asking me earlier, like, man, we got to go to Chicago. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I think it's just going to be a weekend full of just good vibes and love and probably wine and a whole lot of writing. So.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So, Tiff, what is a perfect date for you? Like, when you're on a date, what's the perfect date for you with the guy?
To me, a perfect date would be, I didn't even know a real expensive date. It doesn't even have to be expensive, but just something, you know, where we can kind of talk and communicate. Of course, drinks always help. A good meal. It could be at home, but I mean, I like going out, like, you know, getting dressed up, getting cute, going out, just spending time with significant other, or I like, you know, road trips and stuff. That's like a thing of mine, too. Just spontaneous stuff that could happen on the date.
Okay. And when you say spontaneous, what you mean? Like, you going go-kart riding, you going hiking, climbing? What's like some of the spontaneous things you would look forward to?
You know, just say I like to go, you know, an attentive person. Just say if I mention, you know what, I want to go ice skating or something. If I get surprised with that, that to me is a perfect date. Or it could be, you know, I love this song. If you make a playlist with all my songs, you know, while we're riding to our destination or while we're chilling, you know, just little thoughtful things like that.
Okay. Cool. And Cartier, what's the perfect day for you and a female? Like, what are some of the things you've done in the past, or what's like a perfect date setting for you?
Well, for me, I've always been a very chill and kind of bounce off vibrations type of person. So a perfect day for me, man, it can really be anything that we together agree upon. It's just a chill night for us. I've done coffee dates. I've done going to just walking around downtown, seeing the lights, seeing the sounds and the sights. I've done chilling in the house, watching movies and painting and kind of wine dates, you know, just over conversation, you know, wine and conversation or just going out to dinner. It's really anything that we together see is just a date, you know. I think one of my favorite types of things to do, though, would be something that involves art, whether it's going to an art show, going to a poetry slam, going to a library, picking out a book, and we just sit down and just read together, drink coffee, and then we kind of come back together and talk about that same book, or we just sit down and read two different books, or just walk around and look at, you know, anything that involves something that we can discuss upon art, you know, painting sips, painting traps, whatever, just anything like that, man. You know, I've always been big on that type of atmosphere. So as long as it's romantic, it's attentive, as the Queen said, it could be something that both of us together can just remember as a vibe, something that doesn't take away our positive energy.
Okay. Awesome. So from y'all, here comes my questionnaire part, men versus the women. Okay. So name me three good vacation spots that you would take your significant other or somebody you're dating if y'all going on vacation. What three good vacation spots?
Okay, I'll go first. I would say somewhere with, I would just say like somewhere with a nice, good, you know, sandy beach somewhere, nice, beautiful place. So I would say, I don't know, I was just out there like Hawaii maybe. I would even say London. Another good vacation spot probably would just be, you know, a place that me and the person both agree on, you know, somewhere that we always wanted to go to together. Like, you know, we made like a bucket list of places we wanted to go.
Okay. And what about one more location place? Like, I know you said London, Hawaii would be another one.
Well, at one point I really was, you know. Let's see. A night in New York would be great, honestly. In the city.
Okay.
And Cartier, brother, you, what's three good vacation spots you'd take your lady?
Well, I know for a fact that one of them, because it's always been a dream of mine, she mentioned this one would be downtown. It'll be New York for me, because especially around the time where it becomes, you know, it's time for a new year, maybe go see the ball drop. I've never done that. So to be in Times Square and, you know, kind of kiss right where the ball's dropping, it was always been a kind of a romantic thing for me. It's something on my bucket list that I want to knock off. So New York would definitely be one. Secondly, would probably be somewhere like Jamaica or Costa Rica, somewhere where you can kind of chill, have island vibes. It's not there. I've always thought about Paris. Paris would definitely be another place to knock off the bucket list. I think it's a very romantic place to take a date, like, or just significant other. And lastly, not too far from me, is Minnesota, Mall of America. Just going there, you know, seeing all the attractions that Mall of America brings, shopping until we just can't shop anymore, and just enjoying our time, man. Maybe even California would be kind of fourth, kind of like a, you know, honorable mention. Los Angeles would be another place, somewhere maybe just to go to Staples Center, check out a basketball game or something, or anything she wants to do, really. It doesn't have to be what I, you know, prefer, but it can be anything. But those would be some of my preferred locations.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Now, and I want you guys to go one at a time. What do lovers send each other on this day, which is Valentine's Day? Book, food, or card?
Food.
Cartier?
I go food.
Okay. All right. What is the color of love? Red, pink, or white?
Red.
Originally, I was going to say pink. no, I'll go with red.
Okay. What do red roses mean in the language of love? Love, friendship, or life?
I would say love.
Tie between love and friendship. Only because I've given roses to friends, and it can be defined as, well, it's always defined as love, but then you can add in friendship too. So that's a hard one. I'll say love and friendship.
So you're gonna go half and half, huh?
Yeah, okay, that's a hard one to decide on, man, based on the situation.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. I feel you. Okay, so what other gifts are common on Valentine's Day? Would you give birthday cake, chocolate and sweets, or beer and whiskey?
Chocolate and sweets.
Yeah, yeah. chocolate and sweets. I mean, I know some people who probably could hand off like a cheesecake of some sort, but I think it's more like chocolate and sweets is significant with that type of, with Valentine's Day, more than anything, especially just the chocolate.
Okay. Right. All right. Valentine's Day is named after a soldier, saint, or an emperor.
A saint.
Saint. Yeah, definitely a saint.
What? Okay. Coming down to a couple more here. What do we celebrate on Valentine's Day? Thanksgiving, love, or Valentine's birthday?
Love.
Love, unless it so happens that she did her birthday. But definitely love, man.
Okay.
What shape is the symbol of Valentine's Day? A square, a heart, or a spiral?
The heart, of course. Heart.
What does the word sweetheart mean? Heart made of sweet, heart-shaped candy, or a lover?
A lover.
Lover.
And what flowers are usually sent or given on Valentine's Day? Tulips, orchids, or roses?
Roses.
Roses, but I've seen people do tulips. But roses.
Okay. All right, let me see here. I did. And I think it's a tie. So I'm going to have to give y'all another one because y'all got tied here. I didn't think that y'all going to get tied. Let's see if I can get another one. But yeah, let's see if I can break that. Okay, y'all got tasks, so I got to give y'all one more. I'm trying to get a hard one because I gave y'all some easy ones. Okay, true false. Valentine's Day is celebrated in Denmark.
False.
False. Valentine's Day is not celebrated in Japan.
False.
You gonna rock with that too, Sif?
I'm going to say true.
Emperor Claudius II did not want Roman soldiers to marry during the war.
True.
Bishop Valentine performed secret weddings.
True.
Yeah, true.
And one more. About 3% of pet owners give their pets gifts on Valentine's Day.
True.
True.
True. Okay, so we got a winner here. And that would be Tiff. You won. And that was because of the question you answered true and Cartier answered false. It kind of broke it. So the women overpowered us tonight, Cartier.
You know, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
okay.
Bro. They got tonight. Okay. Tiff, you stepped in at that woman's power tonight. So you kind of outnumbered us on this quiz. All right, y'all. So we're going to wrap up. I enjoyed y'all coming on tonight. Thank you guys for wanting to do this show tonight. I'm glad that y'all stepped in and said yay for my little pre-Valentine's Day show. But before I let y'all go, I need y'all to let the listener audience, because I didn't get any calls tonight. The listener, I got more listeners than call in. But I get more listeners than call in. But just tell the people where they can meet, see you at on Facebook, where your book's at on Amazon, Just let the people know. Started with you, Tiff.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you just Facebook.com/AuthorTiffanyF, Instagram.com/AuthorTiffanyF. Same thing with Twitter, Twitter.com/AuthorTiffanyF. And I'm also, I have, you can find me on WordPress, TiffanyForbes.wordpress.com. You can find me on there. But I'm always online on Facebook, so you can just look up my author page, Tiffany Forbes. I'm always posting updates. I'm always online. And my books are on Amazon. I also have paperbacks myself if the reader wants signed paperbacks and swag or merchandise. And I can be reached by email at soamazingpublications.com. I mean, excuse me, soamazingpublications@gmail.com. And those are the ways you can find me online. So if you just search Author Tiffany Forbes or Author Tiffany F, I'll come up.
Okay. And Brother Cartier, where can the ladies find you at?
Once again, aforementioned from before, you can find my page, Literary Lust, on my Facebook page. You can, honestly, if you'd like to join it, just hit me up. I can send you the request. You can join in. Get all the fun stuff. Sometimes I may even do giveaways. Most of the time I'm dropping short stories, just little teasers from my books, character models, anything that maybe my usual Facebook page doesn't see. It's a whole different ballgame in that Literary Lust group, y'all. So definitely want to join that. You can find all my books on Amazon. Type in my first name only, Cartier. All of them should pop up. I actually have a box set, Late Night Climax 1 and 2, collections of some of my craziest and most sensuous short stories that I've ever written, all combined into one. So you guys definitely want to check that out. It's available right now. You can find my Facebook page, Cartier Julien, or my Twitter handle, @AuthorCartier. Instagram is the same thing. So pretty much I'm usually more active on Twitter now, but you can find me on both. I mean, Instagram, I sometimes post updates or pictures, but I'm more active on Twitter. It's a lot more fun. But, yeah, I mean, you guys can definitely check me out on Goodreads as well. I try to check out the reviews on there. It's just, it seems like sometimes more or less I have more reviews on Goodreads than Amazon. I'll, you know, interact on there as well. So definitely check me out. Thank you for having me tonight, and thank everybody for your continuous support, all your appreciation. And I'm definitely gracious for everything over the years. I got a lot more coming, so Book 30 is going to be on the way in March, and that's going to be my first poly relationship book. So got a lot of stuff coming, and I appreciate the love, and God bless.
All right. With Tiffany and Cartier, I appreciate y'all coming on tonight. Y'all have a good rest of y'all weekend, and have a good Valentine's Day, whatever y'all do next Friday, all right?
All right,
well,
thank
brother,
you
thank
so
you.
Much.
All right, and I'll holler at y'all later.
You have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, so there you have it. Tonight we have authors Tiffany Forbes and the Prince of Erotica 2, author Cartier Julien, on tonight. Show was a little different. Did a little free Valentine's Day show, so I had a chance to talk to them about, you know, their books and this and that. So I hope you listening viewers, because I don't get any call-in viewers. I shouldn't call you viewers, but you listening audience people had a good show tonight. It was a little different, but that's why I wanted to go different, because it was my pre Valentine's Day show. Next week, I talk with author Sylvia Hubbard. We find out who author Sylvia Hubbard is next week on the Saturday Spotlight. You guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a happy, safe Valentine's Day, and I will talk to you next Saturday on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night.